Welcome to the Underrepresented in Tech podcast, where we talk about issues in underrepresentation and have difficult conversations. Underrepresented in Tech is a free database with the goal of helping people find new opportunities in WordPress and tech. Hello, Sama!
Hello, Michelle!
I love that we got to say that like in person recently.
Yes, yes. And I'm really happy to see you in person in WordCamp Europe also.
It
So, yeah.
it was so awesome. I love that, you know, I didn't get to go to your event. I had other things that I had to do, and I'm sure it was amazing. But like the crowns I made for us fell apart and everything like that way. But I heard it was such a fun event. So, and I heard that the drag queens were amazing as well for the Pride
Yes, the
event.
Pride party was in epic. Almost had almost 500 people. And we
Wow.
stay long 1 hour, but the crowns, we're gonna wear them next time. So
We will wear them next
and
time,
also get
absolutely.
I will bring them with me to WordCamp US, and then we can wear them. And even there's no Pride party there, but we can wear them the whole event. So
I think we should, at least for photos, if nothing else.
definitely, definitely for the selfies.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I have had such amazing, I want to say luck now that I've had such terrible luck on this last flight. I have not had too many problems flying as a disabled person in the past. There was, when I went to, I think it was Athens, a concern that they weren't going to let the scooter on, but in the end, everything worked out just fine. But this
Yeah,
time, oh my gosh, this time, first I will say that everything at the venue, everything that the WordCamp Europe organizing team did for me was perfect. And I say for me because I'm disabled. There are other disabled people in the community. It's not just for me. It's for anybody who's disabled. But I know that they would know that I'm coming, and that makes it like if Michelle needs access, we can give her access. It gives everybody else access too, which I think is a good thing, right? But people have that at top of mind now. So like the venue was perfectly accessible. There was one funny thing because in Switzerland, toilets for disabled people, you have to have this key called a radar key, and it allows you to get in and then lock it behind you. So because this was a venue with people that weren't from not everybody was from Europe, the toilets were unlocked, which was great. So I go into the toilet and I have no way to lock it behind me. So all the doors are closed at first, so anybody could just open the door and walk in, and there I am doing my business, right? So the first time I used the toilet there, I was like, oh, please nobody walk in on me. Oh, please nobody walk in on me. Like in my head, I'm like, oh, go pee faster, Michelle, pee faster so that nobody walks in on you. And then after that, I saw like Jamina, and I said, will you stand by the door so I can go to the bathroom in peace? And she's like, absolutely. So she stood by the door while I didn't have to like pray to the toilet gods that nobody would walk in.
You should told me, then I can come lock it for you, protect you next time.
Well, I found out that there was one toilet that had a regular lock on it. It was all the way on the E floor, which for anybody listening, I think was like, we would call it the ground floor, maybe the basement floor, I don't know, over here in the States. And it was all the way in the back of the venue, down this little hallway, and there it was. And so I would go down and it was a moment of peace. I'm not complaining where it was because it was fine. It was like, ah. It was so quiet back there. And you know, the venue floor is like, ah, so loud. So I would go back there and I could lock it, and I'd be like, ah, I could sit in there, play on my phone for a minute, have a little bit of quiet. So everything in the venue is perfect. I'm like, I don't know how you get a radar card. You have to apply to the government. I'm like, I don't live here. So, but it worked out. The issue came in flying home. So the first issue was when I got to the airport, flying in, none of the taxis would take my scooter because it weighs 185 pounds, which I think is around 58 kilo, which is a lot. I understand that it's heavy. It does come apart into pieces, and I explained that I could help them, tell them how to take it apart and put it in their taxi, and they all said no. I didn't want to call an Uber at that point because I have been left by Ubers before when they see the scooter, and I was feeling very discouraged. So I went back into the airport. There was a Starbucks right there. I got a giant hot coffee and I sat down and I was like, I'm gonna plug my scooter in. If I have to like drag my suitcase the 3 miles behind me on the sidewalk, I will. Like, I didn't know what to do, right? And then I look up and there is DeMontis and Emma from Hostinger. They're like, Michelle, look, we're seeing you already. How are you? I'm like, well, I'd be better if I had a way to get to the hotel. And they're like, we got you. And so they got a taxi.
Oh.
They put the scooter in the taxi. They got in with me. They delivered me to my hotel like the angels that they are. So huge shout out to the folks at Hostinger for helping me. And equally huge shout out to you and the Yosties and the Newfold people, Bluehost people, for taking me with you to the airport when we all went back, because then I didn't have to worry. Your folks put my scooter in, lifted it out, got my suitcase. Everything was wonderful. So, like, shout out to everybody there. Turns
Yeah.
out that was not the most difficult piece that I thought it was going to be, because I went to the gate and the gate agent looked at me and she said, we don't have your scooter on your ticket. We don't know about that. I said, well,
Oh.
of course, when I make the reservation, they know about it. I told them everything, right? But when I made the reservation through Delta, it didn't make it all the way through to this hop air front that goes from Basel to Paris. So they wouldn't let me on the plane unless I could tell them the battery power in wattage. And the battery only tells me the volts and the amps. So I'm literally checking ChatGPT, I'm Googling, I'm looking at all of the paperwork that I have that's all online. I have the manual for the thing. It only tells me the voltage and the amperes. And so I start to think, well, the batteries themselves are encased in this plastic, and in order to replace them, you have to have tools and take it apart. But you can order replacement batteries. So I go on Amazon and I'm searching replacement batteries for this thing, thinking maybe it'll tell me the wattage. I must have looked at 58 of them before one finally said wattage. And so I was able to take a screenshot, show them literally moments before they're going to close the door and not let me fly. And they put me on the plane, but they won't let the batteries go on the scooter under the plane. So they put the batteries in the overhead where in the cabin where I am. Okay, that's fine. And then we land in Paris. And so they deplane us in Paris, and it's this like people mover thing that comes all the way up to the plane. So you walk, because it's on the tarmac. So you walk off the plane and then you can sit on the seats and they take you all the way down. And then they have to take you to this place that processes you through, because you just came from Switzerland. So I have to go get my passport stamped or something there. So they take us on this people mover, me and this other woman who didn't speak English. So I couldn't even like commiserate with her. I thought they were driving to New York. It was like so long that they're driving us around this airport. And they finally pull up next to this building and tell us to get off. Now that my
Yeah.
batteries are there, my backpack is there. Excuse me, I have the hiccups.
Noise.
And now we're starting to walk, and I see a door, and they walk past the door. And I said, stop. And I'm leaning against the wall, and I'm like, I can't walk. I need a wheelchair. They're like, well, it's just around the corner, da 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 da. I said, I have a wheelchair for a reason. I need a wheelchair. So the man goes and gets a wheelchair. When I tell you how far I would have had to walk, when he says it's just around the corner, well, to an able-bodied person, just around the corner was actually around two corners, through a building, through a serpentine, and then back out all the way to the same place. So thankfully, he got me a wheelchair.
Wow.
Right. So he got me the wheelchair and brings me back. Now they've replaced this people mover thing with a van. And so I get on the van, they put my backpack and my batteries. So I still see them in front of me. Again, we're driving a little ways until we get to the place that's going to take us up into the main part of the airport for international air. So I get off of the bus and I'm looking and there's no wheelchair. And I said, and there's 8 steps up to where I'm supposed to go and get on an elevator. And I said to him, I can't do the stairs. And he says, well, it's only 8 steps. I said, I am a wheelchair user. I cannot climb stairs. I need a wheelchair. So he has to go in the building, go up into the building, come back down, get with a wheelchair, and takes me up the ramp finally. They take me to my gate. I've got those batteries on the floor by me. I'm like, fingers crossed that everything's going to go smoothly. They get me on the plane. They put the batteries in like that little holding place where they hang people's jackets and things. I'm sitting in my seat. I've got champagne. I take a picture of the champagne and I drink my champagne. And I'm like looking at my watch, like, we should have left by now. We should have left a half an hour ago by now. And now it's like 45 minutes. And a woman comes on the plane and she says to me, "Excuse me, ma'am, you're not going to be happy, but we need to take you off the plane." And they take my batteries and they take me, and I do this feeling like a walk of shame because now this plane is almost an hour late to depart. And everybody watches me walk off the plane and they know it's me. Luckily, I didn't know them, so they could guess whatever they want to guess about me. But I get off the plane, they put me in another wheelchair, and they said, "This pilot would not allow your batteries on the plane. So we are going to put you on another plane that's leaving soon, but we have to hurry." So now this man is pushing me in a wheelchair. I have to go through security again to get to the other part of the airport where this next plane is coming. And the plane is waiting for me because it was already supposed to have taken off as well. So they take me through security. They take me all the way to the gate finally. Like, we're talking like almost half an hour to get there, and this plane is waiting for me. And thank goodness the people were so kind. I get to the gate and my batteries are there and they're still waiting because they're the big head honcho guy, right, says to me, "How do you usually fly?" I said, "I fly all over the world with these batteries. I've never had an issue like this." He said, "Well, how do they usually do it?" I said, "Usually they leave them on the scooter. They take the key out. It breaks the circuit so that it can't spark." And, you know, I said, and then they just let me fly. And when I get off the plane, my scooter's there with altogether. "Well, why didn't they do that this time?" I said, "Because the people in Basel said no." So that's what we're going to do. So I am 100% shocked that because that plane was ready to take off and this plane was ready to take off, my suitcase and my scooter actually made it on the new flight. They put the
Wow.
batteries underneath. They put me on the plane. Nicer plane, actually. It was a much more comfortable seat. More champagne, which did not hurt my hurt at all, because by this point I've been crying. Everything's going wrong. And so I get on the plane, and it's like they're all so lovely. And so we take off. About halfway over the ocean, I get a notification that my flight in New York is boarding. So so I missed my flight from New York to Rochester, which by the time I've had a whole layover, I could have driven. It's like a 6 hour drive. I was in New York for like almost 24 hours, or at least
Wow.
22 hours. So I the they pick they put me in a wheelchair because to get me off the plane and whatever. And then he says to me, "Would you like your wheelchair or do you want us to use our wheelchair?" And because I wasn't 100% sure that my wheelchair actually made it, I said, "I'd like my wheelchair, please." He says, "All right, well, it'll be a few minutes while they unpack the plane." I said, "That's fine. I've already missed my connection. Where am I going?" Right? So they bring my wheelchair
Yeah.
up. It's got the batteries on it. I sit on it. I put my key in. The thing works. And I'm like, the angels sang. It was so good. So they take me to, because I'm a JFK now, but you have to go through customs. So I have to grab my suitcase, then it has to go through security, and I have to check it again, and I have to go through security again, and that's all fine. And so I still have, and now I haven't peed in, oh, at least 10 or 11 hours by this point, and I have to go to the
Wow.
bathroom so bad. So they bring me up to the service counter, and there are people who were probably on my flight who didn't know that it was like my scooter that caused the issue, the delay, who now missed their flights, and they're crying and they're yelling at people, and I'm just like sitting patiently waiting. And the lady, they were so kind, they're like, "We'll be with you in just a moment." I'm like, "It's okay, take your time, help everybody else first, but could you hold my suitcase so I can go to the bathroom?" She's like, "Yes, of course." So I take my suitcase
Yeah.
behind the counter. I go to the bathroom. I come back. The gentleman who's been so kind to me, he says, "I'm so sorry about the wait." I'm like, "Really? It's fine. It's fine. Everybody has to wait their turn. I'm fine." Because he told me they're gonna put me in a hotel, whatever. He says, "Is there anything I can get you?" I go, "I would love some water." So he goes and gets some water. I'm drinking my little water bottle. I'm just waiting. Finally, they work through everybody else. They say, "Okay, we'll help you now." And so she says, "We've got a hotel for you at the whatever hotel it was. There's a shuttle coming to take you there, and we'll help you get all your stuff on the shuttle." Perfect. So she's like, "Oh, the shuttle's arriving now." So we go outside, my big old suitcase, 52 pounds worth of suitcase. Don't know what that is in kilos, but it's a lot. It's probably like, I don't know, 25 kilos or something. So
24.
24. Okay. I was close. 24
You're
kilos.
so close, yeah.
So The man is this like little older gentleman, gets off of the, he's the driver of the shuttle, and he says, "How much does that weigh?" I said, 185 pounds. He goes, "Nope. No." Like that. And I look at the people from the Air France and I go, she goes, the woman, she says, "You will take her. We will get this on there and you will take her." And he says, "Well, what am I supposed to do at the other end?" She says, "There are people that work there too. Get them to help you." So I board, my suitcase boards, we pick up other people on the way. They get to the hotel. He goes in, somebody else comes and gets the scooter. I get on my scooter with my suitcase. I go in, check into the hotel, and I go to my room and I'm like, I can't lift this suitcase. I mean, you know, because you helped me close it once. It's heavy. So I can't lift the suitcase and like get anything out of it and then close it back up the next morning. So I'm like, well, I guess I'll wear these clothes another day. So I strip out of my clothes. Luckily, that on the airplane, when you're in business class, like I had sprung for myself, you get this little toiletry bag. So I had a toothbrush and toothpaste, and so I could go brush my teeth and wash my face. Climbed into bed, set an alarm for the morning because I didn't want to miss breakfast. There was no breakfast voucher, so I had to pay like $27 for a really crappy breakfast. But I was hungry and I wasn't going anywhere, so I paid it. And then I asked for late checkout, so they gave me late checkout. So I go back, sleep for about another hour. Then I get up and I'm like, okay, I'm going to get to the airport because I don't want anything to glitch this. My flight's at like 4:50. And so I use Uber instead of, I didn't want to deal with their shuttle again. And in New York City, they have Ubers specifically for wheelchairs where a lift comes out the back. You just like go out up this ramp and you wait, and then you hold on for dear life because it rattles you around like crazy in the back. But it got me there, got me off the plane or off the van to go in. And I say to somebody, where am I supposed to check in? And they're like, they point to the place that's literally only for people with accessibility needs. And I'm like, way to call us out. Like, there's blind people and people with canes and people with wheelchairs. And I'm like feeling like othered over there, but I'm like, I'm just doing what I gotta do. And the poor woman who's like standing behind that counter is like, she's got like paper and she's like waving herself. It was hot in there. Well, I had my Yoast fan that you had given me and I had used it the whole weekend. So I gifted it to her so she would have some way to keep cool. And now there's a person out of behind a gate telling everybody she's at Yoast, which is good. So thank you for that. That worked out perfectly. So then I
Awesome.
say to somebody, where do I go to get in line for security? Because I have to go through security again. And this one woman tells me all the way down. So I go all the way down. And that is not the place because I'm in business class and I'm a special needs person, right? So now I'm driving my scooter to find the right place against all of this foot traffic, like a salmon swimming upstream. I finally find the place and I go in and I'm like, I get through security, they do the pat down because I can't stand in the machine, whatever. So I get patted down, I get like they check my hands for gunpowder residue, all the things. Give me a clean bill of whatever of travel. Got my backpack now, my suitcase has been checked, I'm good. And I still have like, I don't know, 3 hours because I got there early. Because what was I going to do? Just sit around the hotel when I had the checkout at 1. So I remembered that with my business class, I can go to the Delta Sky Lounge. So I go to the Delta Sky Lounge, I present my ticket, and they said, yep, you're good. The elevator's right there. I go up. There's a man waiting there to help direct people who come up, and he says, "How long do you have, ma'am?" And I said, "About 3 hours." "Oh, well, you must try our fine dining then." And so I went in their fine dining. I got a 3-course meal. It was delicious. Included this amazing dessert, cappuccino. I got gin and tonic. And then when I finished eating, I like tootled around a little bit. And then I was like, "Well, I want to get to my gate plenty early so I can tell them I'm here." So I go downstairs and I ask the man at the, he's with Delta, and I said, "Can you tell me if my gate has changed?" Give him my boarding pass, and he says, "Nope, you're at whatever it was, 8." He says, "Actually, we have a smaller lounge right next to your gate, so you could go wait, wait there instead of having to wait at the gate." Perfect. Well, on the way, I saw a Lego store, so I had to stop at the Lego store.
is the best store ever. Yeah.
I got salt and pepper shakers that look like little one by ones. So cute. And then I go to the and I have another cappuccino while I was there. And I was like, I'm gonna go to my gate. I arrive at my gate in time to hear that it's delayed by another 3 hours.
No.
I was like, at this point, I don't care as long as I don't get sent back to the hotel. Shuttle that somebody doesn't want to take me. So finally, it's time to board the plane. I pull right up to the plane. I get in my seat. There's so much turbulence, they're not even serving beverages. At this point, I don't care. And I'm like landing in Rochester at 11 o'clock at night. Like, I don't need one more beverage, right? I would just have to pee on the plane anyway. So finally we land in Rochester. I get off the plane, my scooter's there, I put the key in, everything works. I go down to get my luggage. My luggage is there. I have a way that I just like put my arm through it and it just like travels along out with my scooter. I go out to my car and Jeff is there, my former coworker who's like one of my best friends. He's waiting to put the scooter in the car for me. Puts my suitcase, said goodnight to him. I went home and literally, like, I should have showered. I should have done anything. I was so exhausted. I just climbed in my bed.
Yeah.
And the next morning, I knew my house cleaners were coming. So I couldn't sleep in the next morning. So I get up in time for them to be there. And I said, could you do me a favor and get my suitcase out of my car for me? They were so kind. So they did. They're friends from way back. And, yeah, and so now I'm home. I'm home safely. I got through all of the things, but I think the title of this episode literally is "Traveling While Disabled Almost Broke Me." Like I literally have not cried that much on a freaking airplane, and in
Yeah.
airports, and it's like I wasn't even sad saying goodbye to people. I wasn't crying because like I won't see you again for 3 months or whatever. It was like I just want to go home.
Yeah, I understand because flying as a disabled person, it's like, honestly, it's empowering because all of the world barriers, all the flights, everything, it's more exhausting. And also sometimes you are expecting from airlines to be more helpful, more respectful, more understanding. And it's also sometimes it can be also frustrating because like you have to energy and have to re-explain yourself. Or even I'm really sorry, like I know we're laughing, we're
Yeah.
giggling about it, but I really
It
feel
was
for you.
tough.
And
Yeah.
I know you're a strong woman, and I but it is really tough just also trying to explain and being late, and it sucks. Even me, like if 1 hour I will get angry for the flight delay even half an hour. So how about you staying 1 day and going here and explaining? And also sometimes you don't feel empathy and sympathy. Someone can say like, I have a wheelchair, I have a scooter, I cannot walk. Like some people, they don't have that mindset. Like this 3 minutes walk is easy. Some people cannot do it, or that can cause
Right.
them more pain, more challenging after it. Yeah, it's sad the airlines also were not really helpful, but also, to be honest, I don't like Charles de
No,
Gaulle
I will never
over
fly through
the French
Paris again. Although I did get to see the Eiffel
airline.
Tower and the Arc de Triomphe from the window of the plane. I've
Sorry.
never been to Paris.
No, but also like, yeah, but also it's a little exhausting because you need to check all of the time the airlines. Are they offering the service? Do they have their from their staff to support? Do they have example not familiar with the as you say your scooter, how to put it up and down. And I understand it can be frustrating explaining about the battery. You say that you're searching it in Amazon to explain how is it, and also the narrow aisles, or sometimes airlines, they don't have elevator to go to the airplane. You need to go out, you need to go down, and then the wheelchair, and going in the stairs is not, it's not fun experience. I'm really sorry. I know
Yeah.
it's your strong woman, and I'm really proud of you
Thank
because
you.
I know nothing ever will stop you to attend any WordCamp, and I'm really proud
Yeah.
of you.
Well, thank you. One of the things that was interesting is at least four times from not from any US airline, like not the Delta people, not the US the American flight attendants or the Americans anywhere, but from international people, who is traveling with you? You're traveling alone? I don't have the ability and the independence to be able to travel alone. And part of that, part of it is real because when they take your scooter away from you, so you don't have autonomy over how you go to the bathroom or when you go to the bathroom. I didn't get any souvenirs at all because I was hoping to get them at the airport, but I didn't have any time to shop for souvenirs at the airport, and I didn't, and I had somebody pushing me in a wheelchair because I couldn't use my own device.
And you were
So,
stressful about it, you know, you're not even thinking about it at the moment.
no. And it's, and when you're in some, when you're in a wheelchair, they literally take you to the gate. You have to get out of the wheelchair and sit down. And now, if you aren't mobile at all, like me, I can't go more than like, you know, a few feet or whatever, just around my own condo. Now I'm stuck there. Like, if I have to go to the bathroom, too bad. If I want to go get something to eat, too bad. Which is why I travel with my scooter, right? So that one of the reasons, the other is because when I get to where I'm going, I need it. But I don't have the ability to do anything for myself. So when I do travel with a companion, it's nice because they will find a wheelchair or get somebody to take me to the restroom. They will go and get food for us. They will, whatever, you know? But when I travel with a companion, I have to pay for them to travel. So it's now double the cost. And, you know, we all know how expensive travel is. Imagine me having to pay for two people to travel. And I did not have that kind of money this time because I haven't been employed full time since February. And I am now starting to do some contracts, but that money hadn't come in yet. And so, any of it yet. It still hasn't. It's been invoiced. It'll be here soon. But, and I will be fine to travel, you know, but traveling by myself is just, it is empowering on the one hand, and it is so dehumanizing on the other. And I'm going, my next flight is to WordCamp US, and that's domestic travel for me. And I never have a problem with domestic travel. They are always so good to me. And I am bringing somebody. The man that I'm seeing right now is coming to WordCamp US. So you get to meet him, Sima, and other people too. And he will advocate for me if I can't advocate for myself because I'm stuck sitting someplace. But domestically, that almost never happens. He's also driving with me to New Jersey for Montclair next week because when I have my scooter in my trunk, I cannot get it out and assemble it myself. So that 6 hour drive to Montclair means I can't stop and use the bathroom. I can't stop and get gas in my car because I can't get out to do those things. And I have to wait for somebody. Last year I went by myself and Marcus for he was with GoDaddy last year. I booked into the same hotel as him and Courtney and Evan from GoDaddy, and they coordinated with me to do the scooter. And Marcus was just he's just such a wonderful human being. He really is.
Marcus, he's a blue hoster now,
He
and I love
is, I
his
know.
expression. And I cannot wait to see him in WordCamp US. So,
Yes, I know, me too. Actually, he's going to be on my podcast later today talking about our new project, Sponsor Me WP, which we and I can talk about another time on the I think it really is something that also
that
crosses
would be good.
into you know, underrepresentation. But yeah, so I either have to coordinate with people or, you know, and it's fine. I don't mind doing some of those things and having to have some forethought and planning. But when you are treated like cattle, and when you are treated like you are a terrorist because you just want the batteries on your mobility device to be able to travel with you, it's just, it is dehumanizing. And so it literally almost broke me. But I survived. I made it home. I'm sitting in my office now, of course. You can all see me if you're watching on YouTube. And I'm done crying about it. But it was the most horrific travel experience I've ever had.
It's really important to make travel easy for people with disabilities because it's really add value. It's like it's open doors for inclusion, opportunities, and visibilities. And I'm really sorry for the experience that you did because I know a lot of people will say like the hustle, the stress about it, all of those things. It's and also to be honest, the value or the amount of money are you putting? It's really high, and with everything now going around the world, everything is expensive. People will start thinking twice, like, should I go to that event? Or should I, even if you're speaking, if I'm only attending, then you start thinking, am I adding, am I the trip or being there is worth all of the suffering? While if it was easy to traveling and make life easy, everything will be more reachable for everyone. Yeah. But I did a search for you,
Yes.
and I will help you which
Thank you.
airlines are the better to travel. And
Good, because
I'm not making ads.
I'm coming to Amsterdam this fall, with one of the teams that I work with at Automatic, and so I will not be flying Air France. I will tell you that right now, or through Paris.
I'm just saying they didn't sponsor me, but if they want to offer free tickets, I'm okay. The first airlines to really accessible is Delta Airlines USA. They're dedicated disability assistance desk, trained staff, priority boarding, accessible bathrooms, or many crafts like on their airborne planes. Also, they provide onboard wheelchairs on a large aircraft accessible mobile app, which is awesome. The second one is British Airlines, and the third one is Air Canada, and the fourth one is Emirates. This is my favorite airline. They have premium service. They have all the time around, I think, 18 or 19 languages there, but also the staff, the help, the free will, chair service, guide dogs permitted in the cabin, some routes, accessible IFE, and the last one, of course, the top five is Singapore Airlines. Excellent customer service, personalized support, assistance during transfer, accessible in-flight entertainment, onboard wheelchairs, and also they make sure all their bathroom is accessible. So, if one of them want to sponsor us, me and you, on Time for Traveling, we don't mind.
It'll be
But
okay.
yeah. You're a strong woman and I love you. And I know how much you love WordPress community to go all through that. And you're still excited to go next week for another WordCamp and for WordCamp US. I know lots of people, they say, like, I'm going to take off 6 months. That's a big event. But yeah.
Not me. I'm either gung ho for the community, or I am a glutton for punishment, or both.
No, it's awesome. I'm really happy that I'm going to see you soon in WordCamp US and in
Yes.
Amsterdam. So yeah, that's
Yes. I
awesome.
know. We'll see each other 4 times this year, it's a record for us.
Yeah, next year I was like, I heard that the next year let's make it WordCamp Asia, Europe and US and couple of WordCamps in the middle. And also let's do vacation, you know, that's
I think
something.
that'd be great. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I'm a little worried about traveling to Mumbai as a disabled person, and I'm a little worried about how long the flight is, but we'll figure it out.
No worries. One of the airlines will sponsor us with a private jet, so no worries.
Oh, that would be okay.
Yeah,
Awesome. Well, if you've listened this far and heard my tales of woe, I did live to tell the tale, as they say, and I wanted to talk about it, not just so that I could air dirty laundry or anything like that, but I
yeah.
want people to understand when you see somebody in a wheelchair, there are a lot of people who use wheelchair service that may not need it because they know they'll get to board first. And they don't ask you for proof of disability. I've seen people walk into the airport, sit in a chair just so they can get wheeled around. It happens. I am not doubting that most of the people who are using wheelchair service need wheelchair service. I'm not doubting that at all. But I do know there are people in every situation that will game things. But when you see somebody in a wheelchair, number one, assume they are there for a reason. They have a disability. Please, please be kind, because all it takes is for people to be kind to make things be better. But also be aware of how difficult it is for somebody who does have a disability, whether it's wheelchair or otherwise. Watching like Alex and watching blind people travel, I can't imagine how scary it might be because you're in a foreign place and you literally are beholden to somebody to walk you to where you're going, and you have to be so trusting. And so please be aware of the fact that it is not easy for us to do these travels, and that if you see somebody, a simple kindness is all that we ask. A smile, a hello, things like that, when you see somebody in the airport, it just makes such a difference. It really does.
Yeah.
But also, if you know somebody who has disabilities, who has to travel, please be aware that might be things you can do to help them. You might be able to help them with making phone calls to the airport. You might be, if you're traveling with them, you can help by helping with luggage and things like that. There are ways to assist people. You can even say, "Hey, we're going to the airport, Michelle. Take us with you. We're taking you with us." So you don't have to worry about that. So Thank you very much to the people who did make my travel so much easier. Sama, being in the same hotel with you, and I don't think you and I ever had a meal together, but your wonderful Yosties had me, like, they were helping me. Naringa got me coffee. She knew how to do my coffee, like, after the first day. I would sit with her. She's like, I can't.
Naringa is the best in coffee.
She's like, I can't stay long, but I will get your coffee. You want your coffee? Yes, please. So it was wonderful, and just hanging out with you and your team was truly special. So thank you, and obviously to Hostinger as well, who saw me in distress and solved my problem. So yes,
We
I love to
always
talk
love
to
to help, and you are someone to look up to because your strength and I know it was also kind of therapy to talk about what's happened,
Yeah.
also to share to everyone. It's not easy, and also to know you being there is really admirable, and just to you move all of the obstacles to be there in the WordCamp Europe and all of the time, just. You're always there, and you always have this amazing spirit, talking with everyone, making everyone feel welcome. I know there's a couple of two Yosters, first WordCamp ever, three, sorry. All of them, they loved you, and they said, so easy,
Yeah.
talk to her. And one of them was
Good.
checking your ex and said, oh my God, look at the followers. She's really famous, and she's so cool. I said, yeah, she's also my friend. So.
Besties. So yeah, I guess it was important to talk about it. I just want people to understand that it isn't easy. And that people with disabilities, we try to make it look easy. We try to make our lives look not so difficult. I try not to have to ask for help too much, but sometimes it's tough, for sure. So thank you.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. We'll see everybody next week. Maybe next week we will talk about Sponsor Me WP and some of the ways that underrepresented people can find sponsorship in the WordPress community. Until then, bye.
Bye. Bye.
If you're interested in using our database, joining us as a guest for an episode, or just want to say hi, go to underrepresentedintech.com. See you next week.